Living my philosophy or talking about my philosophy. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Living my philosophy or talking about my philosophy. Most people, most philosophers, are known as philosophers because they talk about philosophy or their philosophy, and they share ideas of their philosophy, and they tell the world about that philosophy, about it. And when it comes to actually living their philosophy, that's another cup of tea. That's another barrel of fish, because it is a very totally different experience. To live our philosophy demands that we be very diligent on every aspect of our philosophy. You've heard me speak about honesty and finding a $1,000 bill out in the middle of the desert, and I tell you, if it doesn't belong to you, don't pick it up, don't touch it, don't do it. This is my philosophy. Now, can I practice that philosophy? Yes, I have. Do I practice that philosophy? Yes, I do. Do I believe that philosophy is significant and relevant to any person, any being, any human being, any divine being? Yes, I do. Because such a thing as that, we don't need that money. We're not dying for it. It's not going to change the structure of our life, except by being dishonest, by taking something that doesn't belong to us. Now, if we teach that honesty is the best policy, and honesty is what we should all do, and honesty is what we should all live, then to practice that shows whether we live our philosophy or we just talk about it. We know about people who speak about illness. They speak about illness 24 hours of the day. They know their own illnesses, big, small, and indifferent. And they know them very, very sufficiently. And they tell their doctors all about their illnesses. They tell their family all about their illnesses. They tell the world all about their illnesses. But most of all, the most dreadful thing they do is to tell themselves about their illness. We know that philosophy, unless it's lived, is a simply, utterly useless thing. Something that is without purpose, without dedication, without anything. As we think, so we are. If we can think anything and believe what we think, live what we think, then we are truly living our philosophy. Everyone would like to live their philosophy. We all know people who talk up a good storm. They know everything. Oh, they know everything. They know all about how to do everything. But when it comes down to practicing it, that's another thing. You know, a lot of mathematicians, they know math up and down and backward and forward and in and out. They know it beautifully. But when it comes to applying it quickly and efficiently, they have to stop and think, what procedure are they using? They're not instantaneously math-oriented. They're math-oriented according to whatever program they use to study math or to reveal math to themselves or to learn math or to do math. Now, a real mathematician is a person who is given any figures, anything at all, no matter how complex or difficult it may be, a real mathematician. And he is so thinking math that he is adding and subtracting and multiplying and dividing, and he's doing all these things instantly in his brain. And he's correct, because he doesn't allow procedure to disturb him. 2 plus 2, and he adds it. 2 divided by 2, and he divides it, and so on throughout the spectrum of mathematics. Now, if you don't believe me, stop and think. Can you comprehend, can I even understand how great musicians, Paderewski, how great musicians, Beethoven, Mozart, how great musicians can write music, compose music, play music, take the musical notes and play them on just a piano, and play them not only with the musical notes being correct, but putting interpretation in there, putting feeling in there, putting mood in there, putting drama and magic into the music that they play. There are so many aspects to a musician, to a competent musician, to a musician who is a genius in his field, far beyond mathematics. Mathematics merely has a group of structured phrases that are used by the mathematician, and without thinking about it, because he's learned them so well, he applies them instantly to whatever he is given to apply them to. Now, a musician, if he were to play somebody else's musical composition, he would learn that composition. He would learn that feeling. He would learn that mode. He would play. Now, is he spending his time memorizing each one of those notes? Is he memorizing the many varieties of notes that he has, the trills and all of the other beautiful, exciting aspects of music? No. He has within him the essence of music. And he learns the piece by hearing it, sometimes just once, and then he plays it beautifully. We've heard of children who can hear a piece of music being played and then instantly play it themselves on the piano. We call these children oftentimes autistic, and a lot of times they're not autistic. They are just geniuses. They're just expressing that inner capacity, which is utterly amazing. Now, they are what we might call philosophers living their philosophy. They're living what they believe. Why is it that Mozart had within him this magical trace, this magical source that revealed to him the beautiful music that he wrote down? Now, he wrote this music down as fast as you can, and he wrote it down note perfect without using an eraser, hearing the music, translating the music, transcribing the music, and scribing the music onto a musical sheet, perfect every time. Now, he was a genius. He was special. He was a great philosopher. He was a man who lived his philosophy. His philosophy was music. His philosophy was composition. His philosophy was giving out this music. But it wasn't only taking the music that he heard. It was taking the feeling, the sensitivity of that music, and bringing it out. A genius is what we all are. But do we live our genius? And most of the time, no. For if we lived our genius, if we really entered into that inner realm of marvelous quality that we are, we would all of the time be expressing ourselves as a Mozart. We would be all of the time being some great Einstein or some great thinker. Because thinkers are not just these people. Those people are merely those who have trained themselves to be exacting, to be proficient, to follow their philosophy of whatever their dream was. And even when they had dreams, as Einstein did, he didn't understand what that dream was. He had to think about it. He had spoken to his consciousness and said, I want to understand this area of the philosophy of life. And his inner self gave him the formula, and he didn't understand it. He didn't understand it because he wasn't there yet. He wasn't into that impactful understanding of living the philosophy of mathematics as beautifully and fantastically and magnificently as it can be done. You consider these people who are learning musical pieces and playing them, note perfect, we find that very acceptable. But when they begin to put their emotions into it, when they put their feeling into it, when they say what the music says to them and are able to give that to the listener who hears what they play, they are living their philosophy. And we all can live our philosophy. We all can live our philosophy and enjoy our philosophy and do our philosophy if we wish. But we will not live our philosophy, we will not enjoy our philosophy as long as we feel we have to do it according to some rote or described pattern. A mathematician doesn't know when he has reached the point of great mathematician, of being truly a magical mathematician. An autistic person doesn't appreciate the beautiful work that he's coming up with, because his mind is just free-flowing in that area. It's natural for him to do that. It was natural for Mozart to write down error-free music that was just utterly magnificent. And we know a little bit about his background of the frustrations that he was going through mentally and physically with his family and with his life. And yet, through all that, when he came to his field of music, his field of music was like something that poured into his soul and poured out of his soul and was his soul. And whatever was going on around him, he could even continue putting down the beautiful music within him. And also, he could come back to it when he would leave it for whatever reason and come back to it with magic. You and I can do this too. We can do this very wonderfully and very beautifully. And the only thing that keeps us from doing this, the only thing that keeps us from knowing this and experiencing this as wonderfully as we can, is the fact that we think we cannot do it. We think we can only go so far. We think we can only understand as much as the general public understands, as people understand. But there are always going to be those geniuses who rise above all that ever was done or thought or anything that is imagined. They rise above that. And as they rise above that, what are they doing? They are letting the principle express through them beautifully. They are letting whatever it is that is the truth about them, whatever it is that is the magic about them, they're living their philosophy. And their philosophy may be mathematics, music, painting, sculpture, writing, being a human being. Oh my, that's a great philosophy all in itself. Being a father, being a mother, being a child, being a parent, grandparent, all of these things, being a teacher. We've all, in our lifetime, had one or two fabulous teachers who sort of gave us the insight into learning and loving learning of a subject. And we never had trouble with that subject because that teacher loved the subject and taught that love to us in the way that the subject was taught. Now, would that all teachers were gifted in this way? It would be a beautiful thing. But teachers give as they understand to give. They give as their philosophy of teaching shines forth through them, and they give it out in a very beautiful and a very dynamic way. Now, is there any way that we can follow our philosophy, live our philosophy, that we can carry out our philosophy by how we think about it and how we live it? Can we learn mathematics and just run up the scale of mathematics and all the possibilities that mathematics covers, or science, or what have you? It's a matter of What do we want to do? A friend died recently, and his wife said he didn't know any field that he couldn't do. If he wanted to think of a field, he just went in and did it. If he wanted to meet some people, he just went to them and met them. If he wanted to do any experience in life, he just did it. He believed in himself, and he lived his philosophy of believing in himself. And because he was so humble, because he was so contrite, because he was so much a living genius, oh, they're not always perfect in many other areas, but because he was such a living genius in his field, everyone respected him, loved him, and admired him, and wished that they could follow suit. Well, let me say, we all follow suit in the genius path. We follow suit in the genius path when we decide that we're going to live whatever genius aspect we understand we have. Now, some of us may think we have no genius path. Well, we do. The first genius path we have is that we are human. Now, let's be the finest, most wonderful human being ever to be on the face of the earth. The next is that we are divine. Oh, my. Let us live our divine pattern, which says to us, be perfect in every way, even as our teachers are. And as we do this, then we feel there's no competence. There's no feeling that can we do this or can we not do this. We just do it. We live our philosophy. And as we live our philosophy, then we exert our philosophy in whatever field our philosophy is, and we are a magical presenter. We are a magical observer. We are a magical part of that absolutely wonderful philosophy. Now, that's who we are. That's who you are. And that's who I am. Oh, we talk about our philosophies. And we prattle our philosophies, and we go to court about our philosophy, and we go to school to learn our philosophy, and we go to church, and we go to different teachers, and we go all over the world seeking out the philosophy. But the man who goes within his self and says, okay, I'm ready to live my philosophy. Now, I haven't figured out just yet what my philosophy is, but inside of me, I know it. So I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen inside of me and let my philosophy be revealed to me, just like Mozart let the music be revealed to him, just like the poet lets the magic of the muse come through his pen, just like the scientist who has no idea what field he's going to excel in, but as he goes along, he does everything to his finest and best. And that's what I am going to do all of my life. Live to my finest and best, live to my highest in every way, and unconditionally love myself, and unconditionally love my world, and love everybody in it, and see everyone as me, being the finest philosopher of life, and enjoying every single moment of it. It can be done. Many are doing it. Many more would do it if they knew it was so easy. But just be yourself and have fun and find out what you really know and then let it go. Thank you for sharing with me today. It's a joy to live my philosophy. I know it is for you too. Have a lovely day. Have a lovely life. Live the world of your philosophy as I do mine. I love you. I love you. I love you.